Disclaimer: the following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 2. Shadow of the Blood Moon, The Confrontation. The group cautiously stepped into the dimly lit tent, their breath catching in their throats as they beheld the horrifying sight that greeted them. The limp bodies of the young princes, Krishna and Karanjan, lay motionless on the ground, encircled by pools of crimson staining the fabric beneath them. The signs of torture were etched into every inch of their once regal bodies, a grotesque testament to the unimaginable cruelty they had endured. Deep gashes marred their flesh, each one a savage reminder of the relentless onslaught inflicted upon them. Limbs twisted at grotesque angles, bones protruding through torn skin, bore witness to the agonizing torment they had suffered before their untimely demise. The air within the tent hung heavy with the sickening stench of blood and death, choking those who dared to bear witness to the gruesome scene. It was a sight that etched itself into their minds, each detail serving as a harrowing reminder of the unfathomable brutality that had befallen the young princes. But the horror did not end there. As their eyes swept across the tent, they beheld the princesses, stripped of their dignity and left to hang in shameful humiliation. Bound with ropes and stripped of their garments, they dangled limply from the tent poles, their bodies bearing the cruel marks of torture. Bruised and battered, their skin bore the angry welts of beatings, while bite and nail marks adorned their flesh like macabre tattoos of torment. It was a scene of unspeakable horror, a chilling testament to the depths of human depravity and the merciless cruelty that lurked within the shadows, waiting to ensnare its next victim. At that tense moment, the room had six figures, all of them shockingly unclothed, their bodies smeared with the blood of the two princes. What was more surprising to the group was that four of these assailants were women, a sight that added to the surreal horror unfolding before them. On the bed, the two women engaged in a disturbingly intimate embrace, their actions fueled by a sinister fervor. Their naked bodies intertwined, they ruthlessly clawed at each other's flesh, licking the blood from one another's necks while their tongues danced in a macabre ritual. Nearby, amidst the chaos of the assault, one of the invaders, positioned menacingly beside Priyanka, Prince Vikram's sister-in-law, sunk her teeth into Priyanka's chest with ferocious intent, as if aiming to rend her flesh apart. Behind her, another assailant brandished a knife, carving a menacing line across her thighs, eliciting fresh torrents of blood. In the vicinity of Naina, the scene mirrored the brutality unfolding nearby. One invader knelt behind her, a knife pressed menacingly against her buttocks, while another loomed over her, delivering cruel strikes to her face. With each blow, Naina's cries were stifled, her mouth crimson with blood as the assailant forced his tongue into her mouth. Samir Singh, renowned for his agility and quick reflexes, he propelled himself towards the assailant harassing Naina. In a remarkable display of skill, he disarmed the attacker with a swift motion, his sword gleaming like silver as it knocked the weapon away. With a decisive kick, he sent the startled woman sprawling, effectively removing her from Naina's immediate danger. Nilesh Singh, the steadfast swordsman, reacted with equal resolve. He charged towards the attacker targeting Priyanka, his blade an extension of his unwavering determination. With a powerful strike, he incapacitated the man's offensive capabilities, delivering a deep wound to his hand. Simultaneously, he pushed the female assailant away from Priyanka, creating a vital buffer. Their movements, honed through years of shared training, seamlessly shifted into defensive positions in front of the women, forming an impenetrable shield. Their practiced stances exuded a sense of calm amidst the chaos, their sole focus on protecting Naina and Priyanka from further harm. Seeing their opportunity, the two female attackers lunged for the knives hidden nearby. Their movements were swift and precise, their aim deadly accurate. One blade hurtled towards Naina's throat, the other aimed straight for Priyanka's head. Rudra, a master of hand-to-hand combat, reacted instinctively. He shifted his weight with lightning speed, bringing his armored shoulder directly into the path of the knife aimed at Nena. He knew his shoulder guard, forged from the finest materials, could withstand the blow. Vikram, equally skilled in his own right, used his arm guard to deflect the blade targeting Priyanka. The metallic clang echoed in the room, a testament to the swiftness of his reaction. Nilesh Singh, his eyes narrowed in concentration, used his sword with lethal precision. In a single, fluid motion, he dispatched the attacker disarmed by Rudra, his blade finding its mark with deadly efficiency. In a synchronized display of lethal precision, the warriors swiftly executed their strikes, ensuring the invaders met their demise. As if guided by an unseen force, Saimir Singh's dagger found its mark with deadly accuracy, piercing the heart of the assailant threatening Nena. The invader stumbled backward, a look of shock crossing her face, before she collapsed to the ground, defeated. Simultaneously, Vikram's knife sliced through the air, its trajectory aimed true at the invader preparing to unleash further terror. With a swift motion, the assailant fell, their threat extinguished by Vikram's decisive blow. Across the tent, Rudra's blade flashed in the dim light, striking the fourth invader with lethal force. The assailant crumpled to the ground, their body limp and lifeless, a silent testament to the swift justice delivered by the warriors of Vikram's elite squad. With their four attackers vanquished, the warriors swiftly regrouped, their movements fluid and purposeful, as they maintained their defensive positions around Nena and Priyanka, ensuring their safety in the face of danger. As the dust settled and the chaos subsided, the group quickly realized that the tide of battle had turned in their favor. With the attackers now outnumbered, confidence surged through Vikram and his comrades, bolstered by the knowledge that reinforcements awaited them outside. The invaders, caught off guard and ill-prepared for the ferocity of their resistance, found themselves facing a formidable adversary in the face of Rajkumar Vikram and his elite warriors. Exerting his utmost strength and commanding presence, Rudra's voice thundered above the tumult, rallying his comrades to focus unwaveringly on the safety of the royalty. "Vikram, Nilesh, Suraksha Gahara," he bellowed, his words echoing with resolute determination, emphasizing their solemn obligation to shield the royal family without hesitation or distraction. With a nod of understanding, Aditya, the agile warrior renowned for his cool-headedness under pressure, stepped forward to join Rudra in leading the charge. His keen eyes met Rudra's in silent agreement as they swiftly dispatched the remaining invaders near Priyanka and Nena, their movements fluid and synchronized. Now, with the two female invaders outnumbered and outmatched, Aditya and Rudra exchanged a glance, their shared determination evident in their steely gaze. They knew that capturing the women alive was paramount, and they adjusted their tactics accordingly. "Hastamala," Aditya declared, his voice firm and unwavering. "Aim for the hands." The invaders, sensing the shift in momentum, exchanged a glance of their own, a smirk playing at the corners of their lips. Their battle stance remained defiant, but there was a hint of uncertainty in their eyes as they prepared to face their adversaries. Undeterred, Aditya launched a knife towards one of the women, his aim true and unwavering. To the surprise of all, she caught it effortlessly, a smug smile crossing her lips. Across the tent, Rudra mirrored Aditya's actions, his own knife hurtling towards the second invader, only to be caught with similar ease. As the invaders evaded further attacks with cocky confidence, it became clear that they were outnumbered and outmaneuvered. Nilesh Singh's voice cut through the tension, his words a stark reminder of their mission. "We need them alive," he declared, his tone commanding and resolute. Vikram and Nilesh Singh, poised to join the fray, hesitated at Nilesh Singh's words, their grip on their swords tightening in anticipation. But Rudra, ever the vigilant protector, intervened once more, his voice a steadfast command. "Suraksha Gara," he reiterated, his words a solemn reminder of their duty to safeguard the royal family above all else. The tension in the air crackled like lightning as the invaders taunted and threatened, their words dripping with malice and cruelty. "Look at that, Maya. More meat for the slaughter," sneered one of the invaders, her eyes gleaming with anticipation as she licked her lips hungrily. From the shadows, her companion bellowed a command, summoning reinforcements with a guttural cry of "Karim Dal." But Rudra, his voice a calm yet unwavering anchor amidst the chaos, cut through the bravado. "No one is coming. Call for help all you want," he declared, his tone laced with quiet authority. The first invader's lip curled into a smirk. "Is that so?" she retorted, her eyes alight with twisted amusement. Vikram, his rage simmering just beneath the surface, demanded answers. "You monsters, why have you done this?" he growled, his fists clenched in barely contained fury. "Anya, it seems the little one has survived," taunted Maya, a cruel glint in her eye, referring to Vikram. Anya, the other invader, her voice was filled with malice as she gloated, "Don't worry, all of you will soon join the rest of your family. In fact, they must be waiting for you at the gates of hell." Rudra's voice cut through the darkness like a blade. "Drop your weapons and surrender," he commanded, his tone brooking no argument. But Maya scoffed, her arrogance palpable. "They think they have the upper hand?" she mocked, her laughter echoing through the tense silence. Aditya, his voice tinged with determination, countered, "You are outnumbered." Vikram's words were a solemn vow. "You will pay for all the carnage you have done," he declared, his eyes burning with righteous anger. Nilesh Singh, his voice heavy with disbelief, questioned, "Such brutality, why?" Vikram's resolve hardened. "What did we ever do to you?" he demanded, his voice laced with righteous fury. But Maya, unfazed by their resistance, hurled a taunt at Vikram with a sickening display of cruelty. "Well, well, look at the little prince ready to burst," she jeered, her smirk dripping with malice as she leaned in to give him a mocking kiss. Anya chimed in, her words laced with venom. "I bet he'd keel over just from seeing how the rest of his kin met their end," she sneered, her laughter echoing emptily in the air. Vikram's rage threatened to consume him, but he fought to maintain his composure, his grip tightening on his sword as he shifted his stance. As Maya hurled another knife at Priyanka, Rudra's voice rang out in warning. "Vikram, Priyanka," he shouted, his tone urgent. Maya and Anya, seasoned warriors in their own right, recognized the threat posed by the defenders. But their determination to kill the royal women remained unwavering. Rudra, ever the stalwart leader, took command once more. "Vikram Suraksagara," he ordered, his voice firm as he instructed everyone to hold their defensive positions. Anya, her tone mocking yet oddly admiring, proposed a twisted proposition. "Impressive bravery, lad. Here's the deal. We'll grant you one opportunity," she taunted, her eyes glinting with malice. Maya added with a sadistic grin, "You all have your swords. End yourselves now and you won't have to witness the fate of these women," she sneered, her words oozing with contempt. Anya added, "Furthermore, you'd be saving yourselves from a far more agonizing death." But none of the defenders wavered in the face of their taunts and threats. Rudra remained resolute, his voice calm and steady as he countered, "Is that so?" Undeterred, Maya persisted in her cruel diatribe. "Why don't you ask your dangling beauties over there? They witnessed firsthand how their men begged," she jeered, her smirk contorted with malice. Vikram's voice thundered with righteous fury. "Shut up and surrender yourselves now," he demanded, his eyes blazing with determination. But Anya scoffed, her laughter reverberating through the tent. "Surrender to whom?" "You," she mocked, her voice dripping with disdain. Anya and Maya exchanged a sinister glance before Anya's voice pierced the tense atmosphere. "You fools think this is the end. Your precious royal bloodline is being wiped out as we speak," she taunted, her words laced with malice. Maya's smirk mirrored her companion's as she added, "Indeed, while you gallivant around playing the hero, every last drop of Suryavanshi's royal blood will be spilled today," she declared, her voice oozing with sinister satisfaction. The defenders recoiled at the chilling revelation, shock and horror etched upon their faces. "Every single individual with Suryavanshi blood coursing through their veins will meet their end today," Anya reiterated, her voice a low growl filled with unwavering determination. In the midst of the charged atmosphere, Maya or Anya's voice cuts through the air, laden with malice. "You fools don't realize," she sneers, "Sharya Singh, the royal army chief, is orchestrating the bloodbath back home, and we're here to ensure his will is done." With those chilling words, a shiver runs down the spines of the defenders, realizing the extent of the threat they face. The standoff persisted, each side entrenched in a battle of resolve and cunning, while the fate of the royal women teetered on the edge. As Chapter 2, Echoes of the Past Unveiling Shadows, reaches its crescendo, the story takes us deeper into the labyrinth of the kingdom's past, where the echoes of bygone eras reveal secrets long shrouded in shadows. The intricate dance of power and intrigue at the royal court sets a stage rife with potential alliances and lurking betrayals, each move a delicate step in a grander scheme. With the mysterious demise of a key figure casting a long shadow over the kingdom, tensions rise and suspicions brew, threatening to unravel the fragile tapestry of trust that holds the court together. The chapter leaves us at the brink of revelation, with whispers of a hidden force orchestrating events from the darkness, its motives as enigmatic as its identity. Listeners will be drawn into the aftermath of a pivotal confrontation, where the valor of Daksh and his squad against insurmountable odds paints a vivid picture of courage amidst chaos. Yet, the eerie calm that follows belies the undercurrents of treachery and impending doom that seep through the kingdom's foundations, setting the stage for a saga where every shadow could hide a threat, and every alliance is fraught with peril. As we venture forth, the echoes of the past resonate, a haunting reminder of the thin line between heroism and folly, loyalty and betrayal. Chapter 3 beckons with the promise of revelations that could either mend the fractures within the realm or deepen them, leading to an abyss from which there may be no return.